Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I am joined by production supervisor at Netflix, Brooke Rudisill. On the episode, Brooke and I talk about her newfound love of animation, taking the leap to LA, and why asking yourself what you want to do instead of who you want to be is key to your success. This is an inspiring conversation, and it's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. Well, like I am for just about every show, and we are deep into doing this now. I get so excited. Brooke and I were talking, a bit before this, and the energy was great. So I just want to welcome you to the show officially, Brooke. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. My cat Luna says hello. She was waiting for the debut.
Yes, this is a two-parter here. We got a couple guests on today, which is always exciting. So,
couple guests, Luna and Bing. She's sunbathing right now.
Oh, we've got three guests on today: Luna, Brooke, and Bing. Look at that. A beautiful thing, a way to kick off the show. So what I like to do for bringing context, at the start of every show is, can you kind of walk us through what you're doing now, your day-to-day responsibilities, so we have context to what you do, and then we'll talk a little bit more about, how you got there and where you're heading next.
For sure. Yeah. So right now I'm currently working on a adult animated series at Netflix. I'm working as a production supervisor. So I've been on this show since 2020, and animation takes years to get through a project, which I recently kind of learned that, like, from start to finish. Because when I had jumped on back in 2020, I was a production coordinator for the story department, and I remember the artists, like, my meetings would be sitting with the director and the storyboard artist, and the director would have a scene, like, from the script, and would be like, okay, this is my vision. And then the artist would, like, draw and create the visuals of the scene. And it's cool because now, 2 years later, I've been promoted to a production supervisor. And so I've worked in the story department. I've supervised the story department, the editorial department, and the previous department on this show. And so, like, just yesterday, we were getting shots back of full animation, what it's gonna look like on Netflix when it's released. And it scenes that I was working on, like, 2 years ago with artists where they were just doodling the stories. But so yeah, I mainly work with artists. Right now I'm working in the previz, so it's a lot of more computer animated type scenes where they're blocking out digital characters, and a lot of our action scenes are done this way, just so you don't have, like, a story artist hand drawing every single frame of, like, a fight. But yeah, so that's, like, been my current day-to-day of work.
So what was that? What's that like when you see something, you're working something, like, 2 years in the past, and then do you forget about that? Or is it always in the back of your head? Like, when you saw it for the first time, like, that full animation, were you like, oh my God, like, how cool is that? What was that like when you finally saw that little piece?
It's crazy. Like, so my Minions, The Rise of Gru is coming out, it's coming out soon.
I saw the commercial before we hopped on. I was watching TV and the preview.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that one, I was working on Minions. Oh my gosh. In 2018 or 2019, I think. I don't remember. It was, that's how many years ago it was that I was working on this film. And I would be in edit sessions, and we would be, like, the act three was, there were so many pieces of it that they weren't done yet. So we were in the storyboard process, like, drawing out different types of scenes and scenarios, and the writer was rewriting different types of story points that we could, like, finish it. And so when I ended up leaving the show, or leaving the film, I had gotten the offer to go to Netflix. And so I didn't get to fully finish working on Minions. So watching the trailer, there's a lot of scenes in there that they had completely animated that I hadn't seen yet, because it was just doodles when I had left. And so it is so cool looking at projects. It's been years, and I can't even remember, like, little tiny moments of that film anymore. But then when I'm watching the trailer and I'm like, re-sparked by what's being shown, I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. And it's so cool to see it, like, completely animated, and kind of like what the viewer is going to see in a couple weeks. And it's, like, the coolest creative feeling, for sure.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. I have to imagine that's so special, like seeing like what goes into it. Because I think even people know, like, okay, animation, it's more than just, you know, like what you see on the screen. There's more that goes into it. It takes a long time, yada yada yada. We all hear the Toy Story stories, you know, but like to be a part of that process and then seeing it on the screen, I think has to be so special. And do you think that's a different feeling than have you worked on like live action stuff too as well?
I haven't, not scripted
Okay.
stuff. I have worked on, like, when I first moved out to LA, I was in journalism. I was doing a lot more like celebrity interview stuff. And so those, we did segments where it was like long form TV, kind of TV series. It was more streaming series where we called, the show was called Backstage Diaries. And so it would be a producer, a host, and then I would typically go to help out with like social media or help out with just like setting up within the production. And it would be a whole entire episode of like three different musicians who had shows in LA, and you got to go backstage and talk to them and kind of hear like diaries of what their journey's been like, but with the music. And so it was so cool because I got to watch the whole thing in person, and then editing it was very, I mean, you can't really change it unless you go do reshoots. So it was cool to see creatively how the editors kind of like cut everything, but I wasn't really surprised with anything new that was being delivered.
So do you think like from doing that, which is like more closer to like the, you know, the live stuff, you know, as opposed to animation, do you think like you're more inclined or like more gravitating towards animation stuff because of the process, or is it that just 'cause that's kind of where you're at right now?
It's a little bit of both. I didn't, I grew up loving animation, but I never imagined myself working in it. And so when the opportunity to work at Illumination presented itself, and I got to work on things like Sing 2 and a couple of their other untitled, well, their other features that are gonna be coming out in a couple of years. But I definitely fell in love with it, like in the process. So there is a big part of live action that has my heart, where I feel like I definitely want to experience working in that in a feature level at some point. Like Marvel would be a really cool one to merge into, from like, because they do a lot of special effects and they have a lot of previs that goes into like their fight scene. So it is not off the table to go into live action. But I do love animation a lot. It's so creative and on so many forms.
Yeah, I think that's just an interesting kind of point that you brought up, because that's similar to my background in terms of when I was going through school, did the journalism thing. You're coming from the same place. I got my master's in digital media, and yeah, right there. And so I throughout that process, I got into filming, editing, stuff like that. And after I graduated, did work for freelance video stuff like that. And like you were saying, that stuck out to me, where you're like, you can't really change it much unless you go reshoot. But I imagine like within that animation process, like, oh, like you have a totally different idea or you wanted to go somewhere else. It's like you have that flexibility to go change, which, you know, I think is so cool. And I do have to tell you this quick little story about my animation background, I suppose. Growing up, you're like, oh, here it comes.
Oh, I'm excited.
Growing up at my neighbor's house, we were super young. We had you remember My Little's Pet Shops? Or my pet shop? Yeah. So there, my neighbors, there was two girls. One was a year older than me, one's a year younger than me. And they're like my closest friends, was always over at their house. And with their dad, one day we made like a stop motion animation film. And for the life of me, it has to be discovered because I have no clue where it is, but I remember it so vividly. We did this, you know, all day it took to, you know, move them around, and it was a car crash scene. And then we did the voiceovers for them. I remember him saying quiet on set, and I thought that was the coolest thing. And how it goes, it was, you know, took all day, like as you know, for a 3 second clip. And I remember the lines where there was, so it was like a car crash, they fall out of the car, just big bang, you okay? Yeah. And that was it. And that was just that was
I
yeah.
love that. Oh my God, you have to find it. You have
No,
to
I know.
find it.
Yeah, it's they either have we have it's somewhere in somebody's archives somewhere, no one knows, but I can picture it so vividly on their carpet. And it was just like it was this big long running joke like in both of our families, just because of the lines where you okay, yeah, and that was it.
Oh
So
my, how many hours do you think that took you from the start of that idea to the execution of that video is exported?
I remember it was
at the very least, it was like all day. Like went there in the morning and like we just talked about it. And he's like, hey, let's go do this, you know, and you know, just brought the camera and did the chick, 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 you know, for each one. And you know, I'm sure since we were young, we, you know, weren't focused the entire time. But I remember it being like so much of the day for like 3 seconds. But it was so cool. It was so much fun. And it was like so fun to see. And then we put it on the big, you know, TV screen, you know, had our families over to air it, you know, for the premiere and everything. So
I need to see the director's cut.
No, I know. I'll get it for you. I'll get it for you. That's what I'll be working on, you know, after we get off here. So I want to talk about, you're coming out of school, you study journalism, right?
Yeah.
And so studying journalism, was that something that you wanted to do? What got you, brought you into that field?
Yes, it was. That was something that was like my deep passion of when I was younger, of ever since I was little. I mean, I grew up watching so much entertainment, and I just recently had a conversation with a buddy of mine, and we were talking about like what we watched as kids. And I was like, you know what? I'm actually very grateful that my parents allowed me to like have a TV versus I very much would go out and I would play. Like my days would be spent, like my summers would be in the morning and at night, not night, but in the, like later evening sunset time, I would be out like riding my bike and like hanging out. But in the like peak sun time, I would be at home having lunch and I would turn on like Rocket Power or SpongeBob or something. I just have such vivid memories of that, where I just loved storytelling. And I was very grateful that my parents let me kind of like experience that, because I know digital screens can be kind of tough when it comes to kids' attention spans. And but so when I was little, I used to always say like, I want to work in Hollywood. Like I want to go to where the movies are. I would go down, like my mom and I would go grocery shopping all the time, and she would always find me wandering off to the magazine section where I would be looking at all of like the entertainment celebrity things, like celebrity news. I didn't really understand it was celebrity news, but I was like, this person is on Disney Channel and I love them. And so I just would like look at their pictures. But as I got older and I was like in high school thinking about what I wanted to do, I was so conflicted, because I was like, every time I think about entertainment in my hometown, it was kind of like, I think that like, you know, it's really hard to break into that industry. It's definitely a passion. And like my family was always supportive, but they were kind of like, financially, it's wiser to pick something that like has the stability. And like, I remember feeling like, okay, entertainment isn't an option, and that's fine. So then I went into psychology. And so from freshman year to, I think it was the first semester of sophomore year, I was studying psychology, and I was like, I loved it. I very much loved to learn about human connection and just like how the mind works and just how our bodies interact. But it wasn't that type of feeling like I got when I was a little kid in the grocery store looking at magazines, and like that was like love for me. And it's my sophomore year when I ended up transferring out of Lynn for a semester. I've spent my first freshman year at Lynn, and I'm from Pennsylvania, so it was out of state, I was paying out of state for it. And I remember my parents kind of just being like, it's really expensive. Would you be opposed to looking at in-state schools? Because when we were looking at different types of psychology programs, and I ended up going and transferring to a university in Pennsylvania, and I spent a semester there, hated it. I was like, this is not anything like what I just experienced college would be like in Florida, like at Lynn. And it was miserable. And while I was there, one of my buddies was like, you are so sad. I need you to like watch this documentary, because your energy is so low. And I was like, okay, fine. And it was The Secret. Have you heard of The Secret before?
No.
So it's essentially a documentary. It's really old school, but there's a book. So I would recommend the book over the documentary. Mm-hmm. But it's about how, it's essentially talking about how believing in whatever it is that you want, and the secret is to like not lose that belief that you have, and eventually you will manifest whatever it is that you want, and or just whatever it is that brings you happiness. And there was a part in this documentary where the person talking made you close your eyes, and he was like, imagine, like essentially he was just saying, imagine your dream job. And I was sitting there, my eyes are closed, and I'm like, I went straight to entertainment, and I was like, I don't love what I'm doing. And I ended up in that moment thinking, you know what, this man is right. I'm going to follow what I want to do. I'm going to manifest it, and I'm going to make it happen. And it took this whole shift in my mind that I was like, I can work in entertainment. If I put my mind to it, if I put the effort in, I will make it happen. So I took the chance on it, and my family was super supportive. I ended up going back to Lynn, and that's where I met Dr. Stephanie Powers now.
Dr. Wow. And
she was the first person who believed in me. Like I told her what I wanted to do. And I was like, I want to be like the type of person that Ellen is, where she's on she's hosting and she's talking and sharing celebrity stories and like being an inspiration in that way of like pulling out things that like fans can connect with. And I remember she did not even hesitate to be like, oh, that's tough to get into. She immediately was like, okay, that's multimedia journalism. And like, here's X, Y, and Z about opportunities you could take to make it happen. And I remember thinking like, that's real. Like I could really do that. And so the rest of college, I was focused on journalism. And it wasn't until my second year out in LA was when I had kind of created a new passion with like focusing more on storytelling and versus like scripted storytelling instead of like in-person interview type thing. So very long merge of so many things that I was learning about myself that kind of shifted what I really ultimately wanted to do.
No, I think, and as you're talking about that, like, and cliche as it was, like I was actually getting chills because very similar experience, but different experience. Just with a lot of, because we had the similar backgrounds in what we studied eventually.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember coming into school, I was like, okay, I knew that I did not want, I knew I did want to be in communication. Didn't know really what route I wanted to go. You know, playing sports, I was like, okay, like the sports broadcast, I had an interest in doing that, you know, growing up watching baseball games, stuff like that. That was cool. Still didn't know like what went into that kind of industry, but I knew no math, no science. That was the 100% fact that I knew. Right.
Yes.
And so I remember taking the media literacy, that class with Professor Powers, you know, where you sample, you know, PR, journalism, this, that, the other. And she came up to me in her Professor Powers way saying, hey, I think you'd be really great in journalism. I think you should take my Journalism 1 class. And so I was like, all right. And so, you know, I ended up doing that and I really enjoyed the writing of it. I really enjoyed doing that stuff. And so when you were saying like there was no hesitation from her, it was that ultimate support, you know, it was the same kind of thing. And God bless her, because I was going through this and I would have these conversations because I was trying to play baseball and that was, you know, the number one goal. But I liked the journalism, but I didn't want to be a part of the media. I didn't want to do that, you know, for my career, but I loved the writing. And this is what I tell people all the time is like, do something that you enjoy, because it's given me, even though I'm not in, you know, I don't work for a newspaper, I'm not in journalism, anything like that, it's given me so many skills that I use every single day, you know, but it's just like having that support system. And so that made me think of like, when you're going through this process and it's, you know, oh, breaking into the entertainment industry, because this is one of those things. And what I love about doing the show too, is the things that kind of transcend different industries and not necessarily, you know, just for one, you know, it's tough to break into, be great at whatever you want to do, whether it's in business, whether it's in entertainment, whatever. So you're going to run into those people who are like, you know, it's tough to do that. So why don't you think of something else? What was that like for you when you were in that moment and you were hearing like, hey, it is tough. Like you said, you had those doubts. How did you deal with those doubts besides watching that documentary that your good friend brought you to?
It was hard. It was so hard. I remember my first year back at Lynn, and I had so much fear in my mind where I was like, I don't know how financially I would be able to afford this. And I remember, but that pushed me harder. Like the more that I was feeling that type of anxiety of like, if I fail, it's going to be it's going to be a huge hit and I don't know how I would recover. But on the flip side, I kept thinking like, but I just can't give up. I can't give up. I have to keep following whatever it is that makes me happy, and believing that as long as I put the effort into it, then I will be able to find my way to make it work. And I mean, that also I've been learning through that. It's a journey. It could take somebody very short amount of time to hit their goals, but it could take somebody years, but that doesn't mean that they weren't meant to one day experience it. And that was just kind of the mentality that got me through it, when people would be like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you should move to Los Angeles because it's so expensive. You need a job that'll be able to afford it. And I'm like, looks like I'm eating ramen every night then, because I will afford it some way or another. And it's a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of being flexible with a dream and being able to adapt and change whatever it is that you originally envisioned on how you're going to get there, and just focus on, I will get there. And I started to learn that those little details of how you get there doesn't need to be so fixed. And that kind of has helped me through a lot of that, when people would create a lot of doubt and make me second guess the path that I'm on. And I'm like, well, then I guess I have to figure out another path that is better. And then, yeah.
I think, and that's so cool that you talked about that when you mentioned also that thing, you know, the idea of manifesting and saying, hey, let's go do it. But you also keep going back to hard work and making it work. And so what is that balance? How have you approached that idea of simply saying, no, this is going to happen, that manifesting side of it, you know, putting out in the universe, but also understanding that you can't just say, hey, it's going to happen, and then buckle up and it happens, right? And you're balancing that with the hard work. So how have you approached that aspect of saying it's going to happen and then putting a process in place to make it happen?
Well, okay, so I remember at Lynn, when I was, it was my first semester, like within communication, where I was like fully focused on journalism, and I had that like fear in my stomach of like, okay, we got to make this work. I remember I knew I wanted to do entertainment, and Professor Powers was so sweet in letting me kind of like run with that type of beat and find things out. And I remember hearing about like certain celebrities that were going to be in the area, and I was like, how do I interview them? And it had spiraled into me reaching out to just people online. I remember I had a buddy who worked in the industry, so I ended up getting an internship that I really wanted at this company called Young Hollywood. It was like a dream company that I was like, you know when you have like, when you're looking for internships, right? You have those like dream things. I'm sure like ESPN was probably one that you were like, ooh, this is a cool company. It has to do with sports and it's like biggest in the game. I remember that was like me, where I was thinking E! News. There was this company, Young Hollywood, that I came across because in my spare time, I would love to just like watch interviews after watching a film that I really loved, because I wanted to hear more about like the process behind the story. And this company, Young Hollywood, came up, and I remember thinking, I was watching this host and I was like, that is the coolest job. Like, I would love to work at this company. And so as a stretch, I had applied for the internship while being at Lynn. And I was like, okay, let's apply locally to other places, so I have like backups and everything. And I did not think that they were going to reach out to me, but they did. And it turned into this whole summer of me being able to work in LA. But I made a contact there who was working in the industry. And when I went back to Lynn, I was like, I have to do this like in college in Florida. And she had sent me information on, it was Demi Lovato. And I was like, Demi Lovato is coming to Fort Lauderdale and I want to see them. So please, can you send me like any type of contact information? And my friend had sent me Demi's publicist information. And here I am, like zero experience in my life, really, pretty much. And I was like messaging Demi's publicist and asking if, like, I worked for iPulse, a student newspaper, and I'd love to interview them after the show. And this publicist was so sweet. It was kind of just like, Demi's not doing interviews and we are like all stacked up. But, and then she had sent me contacts for like a agency that does a lot of the events like in Florida. And I was like, Oh, snap. And so through that connection, I ended up in Florida. Like Kevin and I went to the MTV music award thing, like that was going down in Miami. We got to do a carpet. And then we ended up just like through that moment, ended up interacting with a lot of agents and publicists. And we got to interview so many celebrities and go to screenings and like watch movies ahead of time and then talk to the writers or the cast. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. But yeah, I don't even remember your initial question because I just rambled.
But this is so much fun because I'll be honest with you too. I remember because I'm so caught up in, you know, all the things you're saying. I'm just having a good time. So that's perfectly fine with that too. But when you're getting these opportunities, you're building, you know, the getting to go interview these celebrities, and I'm talking from the perspective of post Brooke and Kevin Studer era in iPulse, which is, you know, Lynn's school newspaper, you know, legends right here. We're amongst legends, folks. And so, you know, that's what, you know, Professor Powers, Professor Carlin Phillips, that, you know, they're all saying is you guys took advantage, and this is what's so cool, took advantage of your position at Lynn, not necessarily being crazy, you know, crazy this, that, the other, but you were in iPulse and you used that to your advantage to go create these opportunities for yourself. So what is that like? How do you go about reaching out to Demi Lovato's publicist and messaging that? Because that takes some level of confidence. Like you said, you didn't have any, you know, prior experience. So how do you go about doing that and just jumping right into something like that?
It was totally, like, now looking back on that, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I was just like, hey, Demi Lovato's publicist, I work for a student newspaper, please let me interview Demi Lovato. And like that, which I'm very proud of myself for, because I was so confident in that moment to just be like, I am worthy of interviewing Demi Lovato, so let me just ask. And so a very silly moment, because I didn't actually interview Demi, but it had sparked my level of I can do this, and like I'll get shut down a million times, and there's so many talent that's like A-list that wouldn't probably take that much time to like meet with a student newspaper. And but I mean, on the flip side, there were so many people that like Kevin Studer and I got to interview just because we asked, like just because it was, we put ourselves in positions to get denied, but with doing that, you also put yourself in an equal amount of position to get accepted. And so it's a lesson that I really learned, where I was like, I'm not gonna try to be defeated by a no to Demi, because through that no, I got connected with so many other people, because it wasn't necessarily interviewing them, but that publicist was kind enough to be like, well, for your student newspaper, like here's some other contacts that we work with in like the Miami area. And I would have never known that. So it's always so important to just ask and put yourself in the position to then diverge into whichever direction it could lead you to, if it's what you want to do.
So let's jump from the East Coast to the West Coast, right? What was that transition like? Did you know people? I know you said you met a couple people there from the internship that you had, but did you know people over there? What was that whole move like, just from a straight up moving perspective, from, you know, whether it's Pennsylvania to Florida to California? What was that whole like, that process like?
Well, okay, so the first, I told you about how that internship that I got in California. I remember I had not been to Los Angeles. I knew no one. I had a friend who lived in Orange County, which was about an hour and a half drive from LA. So it's, I don't really say that that's that close, but I didn't know anyone in the city specifically. And when I got that, it was unpaid, number one. And the other internships that I was looking at in Florida were paid. And I called my mom, and I was about to accept one in Florida. And she obviously was like, I think you should go with the paid internship. It's stability. Like, you'll be able to live there. Whereas like LA, one, you're not making any money. And two, like, we can't fund you to just like get an apartment. And I was like, okay, I was like, I hear you. I'll make it work, but I need to be in LA if this is like an offer. They offered it. And 10 days after that offer, I was out in LA. I had moved. I was like, packed my bags from Florida, went there. I found this, like, I don't even know how I found this sublet, but I was living with 8 strangers in this three-bedroom apartment. And in my bedroom specifically, there were three people living in it, in like a room, like of the apartment. And I ended up getting a part-time job selling sneakers on 3rd Street Promenade on my off time so I could afford like to pay my rent there. And I was, oh my gosh, I was interning for free for the whole summer, which was most of my time. And then outside of that, I was trying to work to try to be able to afford it. So it was very much like spontaneous. I have an opportunity. I can't say no to it. And I'm so grateful that I did, because that internship ended up being my first job after Lynn and getting me into like entertainment. So it was so scary though.
That is unbelievable. Now do you just have two roommates now?
I live by myself now.
With your two roommates behind
you. Well, yes, right. I do have my two roommates here. They just sleep all day, but I pay the rent. I carry this whole household.
Wow. Is your back hurting from carrying everything?
It's in so much pain. That's why we're sitting right now.
That's a great, great point right there. So now kind of bringing things closer to the present day stuff, what was the transition? You went from the Young Hollywood, that was the one out in LA, right? And then you mm-hmm. got there full time, and then you went to the company for the animation, and then to where you're at now. So how do you jump from that evolution? How do you build your career and like work it, moving it forward?
Yeah. So with Young Hollywood, at the time period where I was there, I was like really, really into my passion of journalism at the time. And I was like, this type of storytelling is so raw, it's so authentic. But the more that I talked to creators, I was like, whoa, your reasoning for creating this film is so deep and so inspirational on other levels that like I didn't even think about. And the more that we did that, with the interviews, I was like, I think I want to work in like scripted content where it is more of a subconscious type of inspiration based off of just like what characters are going through in the development. And so I ended up reaching out to Illumination through LinkedIn, and it's a huge studio. And I remember they had reached out and I was like, oh, cool. I was assisting the CEO at Young Hollywood. And so they were looking for an assistant to two executive producers, and went in, interviewed with them. And I was so intimidated because they were like big, big people working on like Secret Life of Pets 2, and like big animated features and sweetest people. But so I got the job and I started working there, and I was like, this is so cool. Like I'm getting to learn from the executive producers on how films are being made. And that's kind of where my like deep love of animation started, because I got to actually see the behind the scenes of the story making and just like how much goes into telling a hour and 40 minute story. Mm-hmm. And with that, then the thing about animated features are they take years. So after 2 years of being at Illumination, somebody at Netflix had reached out to me and had spoken about this series that they were going to be doing. And the way that they pitched it to me was, it was so deep in the sense of, it was about a female lead who was struggling with her identity. And she lived in a world where she wasn't accepted for the way that she looked. And I remember thinking like, I want to finish these projects at Illumination, but also the story that they just pitched me is something that like I could connect with on so many ways that feels so important to me to be a part of. And so I had made like the difficult decision to leave Illumination before Minions 2 had wrapped and pick up and start on this new project that I've been on for 2 years. So it's very much in a moment I was like, oh, I gotta follow my gut, and I'm really gravitated towards the story and its series. So it's a totally different type of pipeline. Series content is so much faster. You don't have as much time and budget to work on something. And so it's been drastically different of an experience working on this show than the other ones that I was on, because we have such limited time. And but it's very much, yeah, just in those moments of types of opportunities that come up that where you're kind of faced with, is this something that is connected to like the current version of me? And is it gonna benefit whatever it is that my dream is? And taking a chance on that.
I love that. And I think you've touched on that in the past too, of being open, not having to be so fixed on how you're going to get there, but being flexible, saying, hey, this is the destination I'm going to get to.
Yeah.
And how I get there, you know, this can be that winding road. So before we finish up, what is, I know this is always a loaded question too, you know, where are you working towards? What is that ultimate goal for you at, right now? So, talking about right now, where we are right now, you know?
Right now. That is such a big question, because I remember, you know, like when you graduate school, you get that question of like, what do you want to do? Like, what's next? And I always struggled with that, with like going home and family being like, what are you like, what's college like? Like, how are you doing? Where are you going to go? What do you want to be? And that question of what do you want to be has always been one that's been so scary for me, because it's so defining. And since college, I have lived in like the mindset of like, okay, I don't want to focus on what I want to be, but I want to focus on what I want to do. And what I want to do can be a million titles. You could do so many things depending on whatever it is that like the act of what you're doing for work. What is that? What are you passionate about? And then your options and are basically endless on kind of how you do that. And so when I was leaving college, I thought, okay, what do I want to do? I want to do storytelling. I want to focus on telling stories, and I want to inspire people through that. And with that, everything that I have done so far has revolved around that main core idea. And so when I think about my future, I could see, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is executive producing, but who knows, in a couple of years, I could find myself in a different type of creative path where I would work with directors more, or I would direct something, or I don't even know. In this moment, I don't have desires of going into that like creative side of it, of like writing and directing, but I do have passions in that. So there could be potential that if, when we communicate in a couple of years, that I'm doing that. So, but I do think like what I do know is in years time, for the rest of my career, I will probably most likely be doing something with telling stories.
I'm personally thinking that you might get back in the sneaker game, start designing shoes, releasing online. I'm just putting that out there. No pressure, but it's a possibility, you know?
So, That's true. I could tell a story with some sneakers.
You could. And I'm telling you, I'm buying the sneakers right now. I'm pre-ordering. So we are getting to the end of the show here, where it is that bittersweet moment for me, where it's coming to an end. That's the bitter part, but the sweet moment, because we're learning so much. And I know you got one more big piece of advice, and we're time to cash out. So what are you going to leave the people with, that little extra money for the road, for us cashing out right now? What do you got for us?
My biggest advice would be to not put pressure on currently where you're at and what you are planning on doing, because that is such a futuristic thought. I think what is so important in when you think about a future is that you have the ability to change. You have the ability to reimagine whatever path you're on and whatever thing you want to do, and adjust to it. So like, I would say live in the present. Right now in this moment, think about what it is that you are passionate about. And if you love creating things, like say you have a business idea and like in your head, you're like, this would be sick of an app or like a way to help people or connect people. And sorry, my cat, she's scratching on the wall right now. Just so much to say. But so my advice would be to, like if you have an app idea or something, to roll with it. Like be present with yourself, be present with your passions. And it's okay that you can change your mind later. You could be like, I have this idea, but through creating and like networking and building this app, you find out that you have a completely different idea that has spawned from that idea, like original one. And it's okay to follow that. It's okay to also change your career path. What you're studying in college doesn't necessarily need to define you. It can help you. It creates tools for you where wherever you go, you have that toolkit of the things that you learned at that college for those however many years. But when you graduate, like you have freedom. You have so much room to grow, to learn what it is that you love. And like, I think that's the biggest key to it, is following whatever it is that you love and allowing yourself to change on that whole journey and to just keep learning whatever it is that brings you happiness. And your career can be something that's really fun. It can be something where you get paid to just do what you love. But it's hard. There's a lot of hard work that goes into it, but it's extremely possible. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Brooke, you really are an inspiration. This is so much fun for me, and I can't thank you enough for coming on today.
I can't thank you enough for inviting me. I feel honored that I am on your podcast and show right now.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.